turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. Scriptures that you are familiar with. You've heard me quote many times. Others quote and deal with and preach from. But I can't get away from this today that God have us to preach. And I pray that God speak to our hearts and help us together as we study the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4. Paul begins that chapter telling them to be steadfast and stand there and be true. But look at verse number 4, and let's stand, please, while we read. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I like that verse. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What precious words, what great words are written in the Word of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the singing of the songs. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school. Thank you for all we've enjoyed here in the house of God today, but now comes time for preaching. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us. I need that divine touch. I need the power of God. I need you to help me to think and be able to say what I need to say. Say it the way you want us to say it. And I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit would so direct our minds and our hearts. And God, I pray that you'd help us get beyond ourselves and forget about everything else and just preach thy word as you would have it here today. I pray for every listening mind and heart, Lord, that you'd speak to that heart. And God, bring conviction where it's needed. And I pray, God, encouragement where it's needed, help where it's needed. And help all of us, God, that we may get from the word of God that you have for us. And I praise you and thank you. I plead the blood of Jesus. I ask you to rebuke the devil, powers of evil that would work against the preaching of the word of God. And this morning, I pray for the move of God in a special way. Lord, I need you to help me. And I pray, Father, you do so. I thank you and praise you and trust you to do so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Today, I'm interested in that phrase in seventh verse that says, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need, I need anyway, and I believe all of us do in this day. I want to know about that peace of God. And if you go looking for the peace of God, you'll never find the peace of God. Peace of God, you don't find it by looking for it. The peace of God is a byproduct of other things that happen and what we do in our lives. And so I pray that God would help us to see that and that we may have that peace of God. Now, there's a difference in the peace of God and peace with God. Peace with God is Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is, we've been reconciled to God and we've been justified. And we are now children of God. And we have that truth and reality that we are saved. That's peace with God. Before you're saved, you're at odds with God. And you're an enemy of God. You say, preacher, I don't mean to be an enemy of God. You may not mean to be, but you're on the enemy's side. That makes you part of the enemy of God. And so you're either for Christ. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There's no in between. There's nothing else in between there. Either for or against. And so if you're not for Jesus, then you're against Jesus. And if you're not saved, you're not for him because you're not obeying him. And so today I challenge you that you come to know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and your Savior and be born into the family of God. We were alienated from God. We were the enemy of God and away from God. But God came by and we got reconciled unto him and became children of God. I'm glad Jesus came in one day and made it right. Amen. Thank God for the reality of having peace with God. But the peace of God is all different from that. Peace with God I got when I got saved. The peace of God is what I have on the inside as I allow God to do what he wants to do in my life. And that's not all. I'm going to make some statements here, give you about three things in a few minutes, but I want you to get this. Peace of God. That is the same peace that God has, I can have. Now, that blows my mind. Peace of God. That's what he said. He said, look at it again, verse 7. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Now, I say amen to that. Peace of God passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I'm interested in that peace of God that passeth all understanding, keeping my mind and heart in Christ Jesus. I'm concerned about that because I'll have to be honest with you and say, I don't always enjoy the peace of God inside. Do you? If you do, I'd like to talk to you after service. Amen. And probably the time we get through talking, you'll go away saying, man, what happened to the peace of God I've had in my heart before I started on that preacher? And we don't always have the peace of God. I always have peace with God because I'm saved. That's settled. I'm justified. I agreed with God against myself. That's what you do when you get saved. You agree that God's right and you're wrong. And so you agree with him against you and testify against yourself. And boy, that's unusual. And testify against yourself. And then God justifies you in Christ Jesus. And I praise him and thank him for it. But that peace of, I'm glad in a day of confusion, a day of messed up thoughts, and a day that we find ourselves living in, there is such a thing as a peace of God. And today I want to deal with that and pray that God would help us to do so, that we may yield ourselves in obedience unto him and know that truth and that reality of it, because sometimes we get messed up. We allow things happening in our lives, circumstances that mess us up, and it affects our peace of God. And I want to share something with you today that you may not know. You are not always right. I saw some of you look at your wife. And somebody looked at your husband. You are not always right. And I'm not always right, but God is always right. And so it may be some circumstances, something happened with people that messes us up, but just remember that's not where we get the peace of God. That kind of thing's not the peace of God. That comes in and robs us of our peace of God, but that's not what we're really looking for. I may not always agree with you, and you may not always agree with me on every little thing, that's for sure. And somebody said, if everybody saw like me, they'd want my wife. Nothing said, yeah, if everybody saw like me, wouldn't anybody have her? So I don't know about all that, but I do know this. We don't always agree on everything. We have misunderstanding and all that kind of thing, but I want to know about that peace of God. I'm concerned about what brings that peace of God in my heart, in my life, that I may live in that. And that's what he's talking about here in this scripture. He's talking about having the peace of God that passeth the understanding of man. I'm glad today you can have that. He said, preacher, I'm interested in that. Well, listen closely. Look at the word of God. Hear what God has to say. And I believe that God will help us here this morning. Let me say, first of all, number one, the presence of God. The presence of God. If you would, please look in verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, I'm going to stop there just a minute, because I'll deal with that, and I guess you could call it introduction to the first point, I don't know. But I back it up on the introduction of this message. Moderation there is talking about our living, how we live outside. It's our 101, it's our outward living. It's not, it doesn't have to do with our fellowship with God per se, but our moderation be known unto all men. It is that our testimony be right. At our togetherness be right. And we do, and I talked about not always right, and we don't always understand things alike. I got a feeling when we get to heaven, we're going to learn a whole lot of things we're wrong about. Amen. But I'm telling you today that our moderation, he said, let it be known to all men. In other words, we ought to live not in one extreme or the other. Super spiritual people sometimes get so spiritual they think they, and when I say get so spiritual, I don't mean in reality they get too spiritual. In reality, you cannot get too spiritual, but we can get so thinking that way that we think we are, that we're better than anybody else. And then we can swing the other way and get so loose with our living and that we're saved by grace and don't care nothing about it, and we get out of... There is a balance in this thing of how we live for God and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I hope everybody understood what I just said. And don't misunderstand that, because ain't no such a thing as in reality being too spiritual, but it is a superficial spirituality that we can get too much involved in and trying to make it look that way when really our hearts need some help. Amen. And so I'm that's moderation in how we live and what we do, how we look, how we dress, all that kind of stuff. And that's important. That has to do with our outward testimony, but that's not really what I'm dealing with here. And notice what he said immediately after that. He said, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. I thought about that. Now, just exactly what does he mean by the Lord is at hand? Is he talking about the coming of the Lord? Jesus may come any moment of time. I believe we could say amen to that, that he is coming any moment of time. I believe you can make an application to that out of that scripture, that he is coming any moment of time. But I also believe you can make an application now of that phrase that he is, the Lord is at hand. He is here right now. He's present with us now. And I was talking in Sunday school class and dealing with the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit living within your heart, then he lives within you now. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. He said, I'll come in, I'll fellowship with you, and you can fellowship with me. And that's exactly what happens when we get saved. Jesus comes in our hearts and life. If he comes in, then the Holy Spirit abides and said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then the presence of God is with us. His presence ought to bring peace of God to us. Amen. Reckon upon his presence. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever been somewhere and then somebody come by that you had real confidence in, somebody that could really, you thought you could talk with, and it brought you some peace inside, and you begin to talk with and fellowship? You know what I'm talking about? That peace that brings, that presence of God ought to do something for us. And knowing that he's with us, I'm glad today I know that he's with me. Amen. I was sitting there a while ago thinking about getting up preaching. I was thinking, I need you, Lord. I need you to help me step in that pulpit. I have a fear about this. I fear getting in the pulpit and God not being in it. I have a fear about that. I want God's presence. And I'm glad he doesn't leave me now. He never leaves me. But I need to reckon upon his presence. I need to myself be aware of his presence and let him do what he wants to do. And you in your life need to be aware of his presence. He's with you. Thank God. If you're saved, he's with you. If you're not saved, he's not with you. And he may be dealing in your heart. He may be knocking on the door. He may be asking you to come. He may be convicting you to come, but he's not dwelling with you. I'm glad he dwells with every believer on the inside. And so his presence we need to reckon upon. Look with me in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, and verse number 5. Let your conversation, manner of living, be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. That'd be good for us to know today. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Boy, when you have him, what else then do you really need? Amen. He said, he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so he's saying, reckon upon the presence of the living God, and you can say, the Lord is my helper. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and verses 40, and talking about this thing, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And he said, "For the, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angel nor principality nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." And I say amen, hallelujah. He's nothing. He said no power. Ain't no principality. Ain't nothing too high. There's nothing so low. Ain't nothing anywhere around us. And said there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That means, thank God, his presence is with us. His presence is with us. His presence being with us, then thank God, we can know something about the peace of God because of his presence. And I thank him and I praise him for that presence of God that is with us. In verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, I read that verse the other day, and I got to think about another message I want to preach sometime. God will let me, but I can't do that too this morning. But I just throw this thought out to you. When he said, "My God shall supply all your need," you need more than just physical needs. These things you need desperately more than you need physical. Amen. And so, but God shall supply all your need. I'm glad he's with me. If he's with me, hey, have you ever been somewhere and going, somebody said, "Let's stop and get something to eat," and you didn't have any money? And if you've never been there, then you're blessed. But you didn't want to say no, and you didn't want to not go, and you're hungry anyway, but you didn't have anything to buy with. And somebody, whoever's with you, says, "I'll pay for it." Boy, that takes a relief off of you. Amen. Brother Mark like to jump out of his seat on that. "And I'll pay for it." And that makes you excited because somebody else is paying for it. And you go in and enjoy the meal. Hey, the presence of God is with us. If I have a need and he's with me, does not mean he'll supply that need for me? Amen. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Didn't say according to this earth. Didn't say according to what's going on around me. Didn't say according to circumstances or somebody or anybody else. He said according to his riches in glory. And so his presence with me, he's going to take care of me. And you got children. Your children, they know as long as they're with you that you're going to take care of them. Is that not right? And they're going to watch over you and care. Not anything hurt. Hey, his presence is with us. It ought to give us some peace of God on the inside just because of his presence. In Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely also give us all things?" I say hallelujah. He didn't spare his own son. God's going to take care and cares about us. 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Aren't you glad you can cast all your care upon him? He cares for you. And today as we come together, you know why sometimes we don't enjoy the peace of God in our hearts? Because we don't cast all of our care upon him. Amen. Oh, me too. And I'm the one saying, oh, me. It's time to, I take them to him. I cast them on him. But then I pick them up and take them back. And sat down with the same burden I had before I left, went to the altar before I prayed, before I, whatever. Now, I know you folk more spiritual than I am. Y'all don't do that. But I guarantee you somebody sitting there right now thinking about things that you prayed about, you took to God, but still you have that worry about, you have that concern about. And somebody said about worry, it gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. Amen. It's like a rocking chair. Amen. You can rock, you don't go anywhere, but you rock, but don't get you anywhere. But unless you got a baby in your arms to keep it from crying, maybe. But that's about all a rocking chair can do for you. But you don't go anywhere. And worry is the same way. And do you ever worry, preacher? I don't worry, but I sure do get over concerned. Amen. If I could find me another definition for worry, I'd use it right now. Because we ought not to worry, but we have that anxiety about us. We have that care about us. There's a thin line between being concerned and having a real burden about something and worrying about it. Y'all still with me? Most of you are. Amen. There's a thin line between that. And I have trouble with that line. I cross over it. And I find myself worrying. I find myself overly concerned, if you please, about that particular situation. But I'm talking about the peace of God, and I got to thinking about that. Boy, I have that peace of God. But let's go to the second thing and look at it. And as he talks about it in verse number 6, I'm talking about prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Somebody said about that verse, said this, don't worry about nothing, pray about everything, and then rejoice about anything you get. Amen. That's hard to do. I couldn't even hardly remember to say it, much less how to do it. But pray about everything. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Now, I'm struggling with this because I'm talking about my own life. Because I need this. I want this peace of God that passes understanding the man to keep my heart and mind through Christ Jesus every day of our lives as we live. Now, you say, preacher, I'm doing okay right now. Everything's fine. I'm doing pretty good. Everything's fine. Just wait around. There'll be a storm come your way. And that's when you're going to find out whether you have peace of God in your heart or not. When that storm hits and you're either going to break down and go to pieces or else God's going to help you and you're going to know something about the peace of God that passes of understanding of man. And so he said, pray about it. And we need to pray. If we're going to pray, we ought to believe God. Amen. If we're going to pray about something, we ought to believe God is going to do something. Hebrews 11:6 said we ought to pray in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so we ought to pray in faith and believe God. Hey, you say, preacher, will God save me? If you'll pray in faith, he'll save you. Amen. That publican, you remember I talked about last Sunday, went up to the house of God to pray. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He went down to his house justified other than the other man. You remember the jailer, Philippian jailer, cried, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus. He just simply called unto God, and God saved him. And the greatest revival you'll ever read about anywhere is revival at Nineveh when Jonah went in preaching. And you know what? The whole city repented. What did they do? They got in sackcloth and ashes. And every one of them repented from the king right on down. And God put off the judgment he said was coming. Why did he do that for? Because they prayed. Because they prayed, they repented, they got right with God. God heard their prayer when they repented. If you're unsaved today, let me report to you that if you will repent and ask God to save you, he will save you. He said he would. Amen. He promised and he will. I'm glad we can pray about our unsalvation, our being unsaved. And we can pray about that. But actually, we are saved. We can pray about anything. And whatever it is, God's concerned about our lives, and so we can pray. Ask God to help us. You remember Jacob over there wrestling with God? Genesis 32. The Lord said, let me go. He said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. He said, I'm just going to hang on till you bless me. And God blessed him there, touched the hollow of his thigh. You remember that? And he went with a limp from that time on. Hey, we need to learn to pray. That's supplication. Now, prayer is worship and adoration and talking to God, but that supplication is we're getting down personal with our needs. And that's how Mordecai and Esther did it. They got personal about it, fasted and prayed for 3 days, then went into the king. Hey, that's supplication. Getting down to reality about our life, what we need, where we are, what we desire, how our lives are. And God helps us with that. I'm glad, praise God, he hears as a song, he heard my prayer. I'm glad I know he heard my prayer. Hallelujah. If I could sing, I'd hit you out in a verse of that right now. But if I did, you want to go home sure enough, but I won't. But I'm glad he heard my prayer, and he hears prayer from you today. And I'm glad we're going to know the peace of God, we can pray and talk to God about it. Amen. Moses talked to God. Now, won't you turn with me over in Exodus. Exodus chapter 32, I believe it is. Chapter 42. No, that's not right. Exodus 32. Exodus chapter number 32. I want to show you this prayer of Moses. Well, if we pray, get a concern like Moses had. It came to pass, verse number 30. This is Exodus 32. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. Now go unto the Lord, and peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin. I can hear Moses' voice in that. Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and they've made them gods of gold. Yet now he's talking to the Lord. And he said, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, then there's a pause. And said, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Amen. God said, hey, I'm not blotting you out, Moses. He said, I'll blot others out that have sinned. Here's what, now you say, preacher, are you going to preach and lose salvation? No. I better clarify what he's talking about here, else we get confused sure enough. There is a book that God has everybody's name in. The book of life, everybody's name's in that book. And God blots it out when they cross over the deadline. They've gone beyond. They're not going to be saved. It's over with. That God blots their name out. They die, whatever. It's blotted out. That's who God blots out. Those that are saved, he'll never blot out, because our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm glad, praise God, my name's written in heaven, and it cannot and will not be blotted out. Amen. Well, preacher, what if you mess up too bad? God will let me go on home to heaven. That's what he'll do. Amen. I don't want to mess up. Don't intend to mess up. But God said in there, Moses said, I pray thee, forgive their sin. Here's what Moses is saying. I am so concerned about it. I'd be willing to go to hell if you're not gonna save these folks. Hey, I want you to know he had a concern about them. He had such a burden about them, such a love for those people. He was pleading to God, and he moved God in heaven. I say to you today, thank God for prayer. Amen. Amen. God heard his prayer. And we can pray for our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, and we can pray and ask God to help them and God to bring them under conviction, and God can hear our prayer and help us. And I say today, may God help all of us that we may pray like we ought to pray. You'll never have the peace of God. It'll be a worry to you. It'll be a fret to you until you pray right. Not just about souls, but about the church, about everything. Just pray right. About your life. Pray about your family. Pray about whatever it is you need to pray about. Pray. Ask God's help. God knows more about whatever it is you're trying to pray about than anybody else does anyhow. If you pray and ask him and talk to him, the peace of God, a peace of understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me move on quickly and I'll try to bring it to a close. I want you to look in verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I like that, but I don't always obey that. What do you mean, preacher? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Some days I don't rejoice like I ought to in the Lord. And do you? But I should, because he said to rejoice in the Lord always. You know what the always means? It means always. If it means always, that means there'll be a time I'm never rejoicing in the Lord. Now, I realize you can rejoice in the Lord and have a burden about somebody at the same time, or about something that's a burden to your heart. You can have that all at the same time and still rejoice in the Lord. Hey, the disciples came back, and they were praising God because demons were subject to them. And he said, don't rejoice over that. He said, rejoice rather, because your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. I say to you today, we all rejoice over being saved. Amen. And I'm saved every day. And so if I'm saved every day, then I'll rejoice about it. Angels came the day Jesus was born that night, and they said, glory to God in the highest. You know what they do? They're praising God. Those serpents over in Isaiah 6, they're flying through the air, through the temple there, and they're saying, holy, holy, holy. You know what they're doing? They're praising God. You know what they're doing over in heaven? Falling down before the throne saying, holy, 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 praising God. You know what they're doing when they're saying, worthy is the Lamb? Praising God. Hey, God desires praise. He desires praise from me. He desires praise from you. And I say, hallelujah. God desires that praise, and we need to praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Over and over in the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So praise the Lord. Amen. Over in Psalms 100, that talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you land, and serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. I say hallelujah. That's what we need to do. Come in saying hallelujah. Praise his name. Sing praises because we love him. Sing praises unto him and praise his name and lift our hand and say amen or hallelujah or in at least in joy inside, you're praising the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do you have peace of God, preacher? Have peace of God because the presence of God is with you. Have peace of God because you can pray and talk to God about everything and take it to all your burdens to him and cares and leave them there. And then you have the peace of God because you praise the Lord. Good way to have that peace is just praise the Lord. Lord's good. And Psalm 100 ends up saying the Lord's good. His mercy endureth forever. And I'm glad, praise God, it does. And it's truth. Well, mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth forever is how it winds up. But I'm telling you, the mercy of God's good. God's good. Grace is good. And all the word of God's good. And he said, the peace of God, that passeth understanding man. Be careful for that. Don't worry about anything. And he said, when he talked about praying about everything, he said, pray with thanksgiving. Being thankful and praising him at the same time. And talking to God. I don't know about your life, but I know about my life. And my life, I need God to help me take this word that I just preached, tried to preach to you today, and put it in action. I need to reckon on his presence. I need to pray to him. And I need to praise him. The peace of God, the peace of all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Musicians are coming, getting the invitation ready. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life today. I just know that God stirred my heart about this peace of God, the peace of all the understanding of man. You say, preach, I don't have that peace of God. Do you have peace with God? Let me ask you that first. The peace with God is what you have when you get saved. Do you really know you're saved? You have peace with God. If you don't know you're saved, then you don't have peace with God. But then if you are saved and you have peace with God, then do you have the peace of God? That the passion of understanding of man. Do you have that joy, that thrill inside, rejoicing because you're saved, because God's good, because of who God is, and reckon upon his presence? Let God say to you what he wants to say. Then respond like God would have you to respond. If you're not, and this morning again, my heart cries to you because I want everybody in the house to know you're saved. If you don't know that, I pray that you'll come today and let Jesus Christ become real to you. If you don't know you're really saved, you may have made a profession, but you don't know you're saved. You may never made a profession, but you know you're not saved. You need God to help you. Cry to God. He made a promise to save you. You repent and believe. Then if you are saved, and your heart, your life is somewhere in things that need to be brought to God, and that peace of God could just be so real to you, that peace of understanding man. Father, I pray in this invitation, may the Holy Spirit deal with all of our hearts. God, I pray for myself and I pray for this people that you would help us, that we might yield ourselves in obedience. Father, that peace of God which passeth understanding man, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Help us, I pray, in this invitation. Have your way, magnify yourself, get glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.